They are much bigger. They outcompete them for food, habitat. They spread a disease called crayfish plague, which if it gets upstream of a white-clawed crayfish population, it can work its way through a stream or a burn in 2 weeks and wipe out every single white-clawed crayfish in there.
There's a battle going on in Britain's rivers and streams. Our only native freshwater crayfish, the white-clawed crayfish, is under threat from an invasive species. The American signal crayfish arrived in our waterways thanks to a restaurant craze in the 1970s. But the white-clawed crayfish is fighting back. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth. Welcome to Wild Tales and the Crayfish Gladiator Battle.
They're just chock full of personality. They're not the prettiest things, but they're full of character, and that's why they're cool. I love them. I absolutely love them. I think that doing the crayfish work here at Wallington is some of the most fulfilling, exciting, sometimes coldest, spending all day in the river work that we do. And I just love everything to do with crayfish.
This is Nick Allen, a National Trust ranger at Wallington in northeast England.
So for anyone that hasn't seen a white-clawed crayfish or any kind of crayfish, they're basically, if you just picture a mini lobster, they are a freshwater invertebrate. They forage along rivers, burns and streams.
White-clawed crayfish are ecosystem engineers, keeping streams and rivers clean. They're important for showing the health of Britain's waterways. But because of a dining craze in the 1970s, they're currently under threat. As well as flared trousers and platform shoes, this decade also brought the introduction of the American signal crayfish by commercial fish farms, encouraged by the government.
So crayfish are under threat at the moment for multiple reasons. The main reason is the invasive signal crayfish. This was brought over from America because crayfish at the time were very popular in restaurants. It was thought that if they were brought over, there's a lot more meat on a signal crayfish, they're a lot bigger, then they could be sold to restaurants. That craze and that fad in the restaurants sort of phased out, and so the crayfish that were being held for food were released into rivers, ponds, streams, up and down the country over the years, and eventually they took a hold of the rivers and streams that the white-clawed crayfish call home.
The signal crayfish are a bit like terminators. They've made it into our waterways by crossing land and breaking through any barriers. The signal crayfish are locked in a fierce battle with the white-clawed crayfish, outcompeting them for food and habitat, and even preying on their young. And on top of all this, the signal crayfish are also spreading a killer plague.
They spread a disease called crayfish plague, which is actually a fungal infection, which if it gets upstream of a white-clawed crayfish population, it can work its way through a stream or a burn in 2 weeks and wipe out every single white-clawed crayfish in there. Signal crayfish are carriers but don't show any symptoms and can live with the disease, but our white-clawed can't. So in this country, there aren't many rivers and streams and catchments with white-clawed crayfish left, particularly in southern areas. The situation with the invasive signal crayfish is a lot worse. In the northeast, we're quite lucky. We've got one or two areas with white-clawed crayfish left, and the Wansbeck catchment is one of the best for white-clawed crayfish. But nationally, they're incredibly endangered.
In a bid to save the white-clawed crayfish, Nick and the team of rangers at Wallington have implemented habitats at the property, with a little inspiration taken from the Bible.
Ark sites are one main way that we combat the signal crayfish invasion. It's a reference to Noah's Ark. It means that you are taking our native population out of a potentially dangerous situation and plopping them somewhere where they can't be touched by the invasives.
So, how many ark sites are there at Wallington?
We have two ark sites on our estate. So we've got one down here on the hub of the estate, and we've got one a couple of miles out in the middle of the estate on one of our farms, which is on a spring-fed pond in the middle of a field. What you do is you find a place that is a potentially good crayfish habitat, or can be made into good crayfish habitat, that isn't connected to any other streams or burns in the catchment that could easily be accessed by potential signal crayfish invasions. So this one here that we've created is in a historic cattle drink. What we did is we created a nice long dry stone retaining wall, which is going to give loads of great habitat for the crayfish, loads of nooks and crannies for them to squeeze in. We filled it full of nice stones and rocks, which again creates lots of habitats and refuges. That's what you call the little homes that they live in. We planted lots of willow to shore up the riverbank. We dammed it off at the end, let it pool up, and we translocated a population of crayfish from the Wansbeck River, which is the river that runs through Wallington, to create a self-sustaining population of crayfish that is isolated from any potential invasive species.
White-clawed crayfish are active at night, which is a good time for Nick and his colleagues to survey them.
They're nocturnal mostly, so they forage at night, which means that a lot of the surveying that we do, if we're not in the river, stone turning or looking at our traps for the crayfish, we go out at night torching, so shining torches into the water and seeing how many crayfish are active in that one spot at that time. So we survey through the summer, and we're just surveying for general health conditions, seeing what streams have them, what streams don't, maybe identifying other areas for arc sites, and just keeping an eye on the population, and most importantly, keeping an eye out for those signal crayfish. If we don't find them, it's good news.
Crayfish fan Nick admits there are challenges telling people about crayfish. They're not exactly known for their charisma, until, of course, you get to know them. So how do Nick and the team get people as excited about white-clawed crayfish as they are?
We've got one or two captive-bred white-clawed crayfish that we keep for visitor engagement. It's really important that you've actually got crayfish that people can see. It really helps to get people engaged with the conservation work we do when we've got these captive-bred ones that we can get people and show them. So that's what we're going to go and see now.
The busy visitor centre at Wallington allows people to get up close to the white-clawed crayfish.
We are by our captive-bred crayfish tank. I think they must have known we're coming because one of our females in here is sitting right on top of a brick having a good show off.
Nick gets the crayfish out of the tank to have a closer look and explains the handy superpowers the crayfish have when they lose a limb in a fight.
So they have the two big claws at the front, which are mainly used for defence. If you look down here, one of the crayfish in here is actually missing one of them because they've been scrapping. One of the most amazing things about them is if they lose a leg or they lose a claw, they're fantastic at growing back their limbs. And they've got eight legs as well, out the back. And then you've got these mini legs at the base of their tail, which are called swimmerets. Their main form of defence is usually just to swim away from threats. So what they do is this really powerful tail at the back of there. They'll just flap that and they'll swim away backwards really quick, which makes stone turning and surveying really hard because you've got to be really quick to get them, or they can just blast away and they're just gone. So yeah, they've got that powerful tail there as well.
As well as their powerful tail, what they can do with their shell is also pretty amazing.
Yeah, they've got that hard outer shell as well, which they molt when they grow out of it. So they'll crack out of this section here between the main carapace and the tail, and they'll sort of reverse out of that, and they'll be in that sort of jelly-like state. And then they'll go in a period of resting while that shell hardens up again. So you've got to be careful as well when you're surveying. If you're surveying, you find one and it feels like it's in that jelly state, we don't take it out and measure it and look at it, we just leave it to do its thing. We always leave the old shell in the tank because they'll go back and nibble at it and build up their calcium levels again to help rehard, so they eat it.
So these animals are really cool, but they need protecting. What can we do to help?
So white-clawed crayfish are really important for our rivers. They're our only native crayfish and they're under serious threat at the moment. And I think the best thing that day-to-day people can do is just follow the check, clean, dry procedure, which is anything that's been in the water, be that boots, dogs, fishing equipment, car tyres, anything that's passed through any water, any streams, any burns, check it for mud, clean it completely and dry it completely. Because those invasive signal crayfish carry spores of crayfish plague, And crayfish plague can survive on damp, muddy surfaces for up to 2 weeks. If you're moving to and from different catchments, you could be spreading crayfish plague into native white-clawed populations. So really, really important to check clean, dry. I think white-clawed crayfish really get left behind because they're not the most glamorous conservation effort. They're not the most amazing, cutesy species like a squirrel, but they are really, really important, and it's really important that they don't get left behind.
With the impact of crayfish plague and many of Britain's rivers and streams taken over by American signal crayfish, the white-clawed crayfish is a nationally endangered species. But there is hope for these plucky little characters, thanks to conservation work being done, like at Wallington, by Nick and the team. Next time you're on a riverbank, spare a thought for the white-clawed crayfish. These ecosystem engineers, with their amazing limb regrowing superpowers, keep Britain's rivers and streams clean. So let's do our bit to help them in their crayfish gladiator battle. Thanks for joining me on this wild tale. To hear more episodes, follow us on your favourite podcast app. And you can also find us on Instagram, @wildtalesnt. See you next time.